They say that after the first day of summer, summer starts to end. Well, technically true, but come on, that's nonsense. There's plenty of summer left. Let's enjoy it here, at the diner. It's Friday, June 30th, 2006, special 4th of July weekend edition. Welcome! Hey, guys. You mind? Outside? Thanks. I'm big a fan of fireworks as anybody, but they have their place. And their place is not indoors. I know, call them an old fuddy-duddy. Killjoy. This is a perfect place for fireworks, though. Way out here on old Highway 23. Nothing to burn down. Whenever I was shooting off bottle rockets in town, I always see them bounce off a neighbor's roof, and I sort of would be, nervous for a little while waiting for the house to go up. Never did. Never did. Never lost a finger. Never lost a house. Never lost an eye. But there's always this year, I say. Welcome to the diner, folks. I'm James Lilacs, sitting here at my usual place at the long boomerang pattern Formica counter at the old diner out on old Highway 23, about, I'd say 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very moment. And, of course, this being the fourth, I'm sure the menu is arrayed with all the usual patriotic meals. Let's take a look. Well, they have all of the basics. Grilled hamburgers, and I know that they don't mean the nickel-plated grill in the kitchen. They've got a Coleman grill out back with big heaps of Kingford briquettes. Oh. You know, there's one briquette, actually, it's a self-lighting style. And the ad campaign said, "Taste the food, not the fuel." I always thought that was misbegotten. I like to taste the fuel, frankly. One of the things that I miss, actually, now that I have a gas grill, is getting that can of whatever it is, naphtha, and drenching the charcoal briquettes until they're actually mushy, and then tossing the match in. Poof! If you're lucky, you can leave a little trace of soot from the planes that go overhead. Ooh, I love to taste the fuel. And because they're grilled, of course, that means they're going to be burnt and crispy and crunchy. And I just I love the way that the charcoal transfers the essence of the charcoal itself to the soul of the hamburger. And might I add that these are high-fat hamburgers. None of these 92% lean versions. No, this is the stuff that spits when you put it on the grill and oozes when you put it in your mouth. Good eating. What else here? Now there's going to be some bratwurst! Love bratwurst. Although, there's a brand that I saw at the store the other day, Beer Brats, and it said on the label, "With the bold taste of beer." Now, I've had a lot of beer in my life, and I can ascribe many qualities to it. Many adjectives come to mind. Bold is not one of them when it comes to the flavor that it imparts to a bratwurst, I'm sorry. And let's see what else here. Potato salad. I'm going to pass on that. I was never a potato salad guy. I don't know what it was, but whenever I was a child and they would put out the potato salad at the feeds, be they at the picnic or at the house, there was just something about its hue that just didn't do it for me. And the taste didn't do it for me. It was just like cold chunks of something. Modeling clay. I don't know. I never liked potato salad. Plus, there'd always be that year when somebody would leave it a little too long in the trunk, and the trunk was a little too long in the sun, and the next thing you know, everybody's heaving up the brats in the bushes. So, no, ixnay on that. And, of course, hot dogs. Hot dogs for the kids. Armor hot dogs, probably. What kind of kid likes Armor hot dogs? Well, fat kids, tall kids. I gather kids who clamber about on geological formations. Even kids with chicken pox. You know, now that I think about it, when I was a child and I had chicken pox, a desire for oddly solidified slurry of abattoir leavings packed into an intestinal casing was not first and foremost in my menu choices, let me just say. The best hot dog I ever had was in Washington, D.C. at the Hot Dog Manufacturer of America convention show or something like that. Yes. Yes, there is an American Hot Dog Manufacturing Association, and of course they would have a trade show in Washington. They had lobbyists, naturally, to advocate on behalf of the hot dog community. I have no idea what they actually did, but they put on a feed in Capitol Hill. And all of the brands were there. The best was Hebrew National. A hot dog unlike any other. Why? Because you're absolutely guaranteed of a total and complete absence of minced pig sphincters. That's why. They were just delicious. So that's what you're going to get here. Unfortunately, you won't get, you won't get the toasted buns because, you know, hot dog feeds when you're a kid and you have the picnic. You don't get the toasted buns. You get the bag of buns from the store that are pre-sliced that have, you know, a gossamer thin little hinge between the buns that instantly falls apart the minute you pop the hot dog in it. And you'll have, what do we have here? Oh, that's interesting. They have both Hunt's and Heinz ketchup. Intriguing. I didn't know there had been a rapprochement between the two camps. Usually you find people who subscribe to one or the other, but you don't find people who are willing to accept the presence of Hunt's in the presence of Heinz, or vice versa. I mean, I've seen knife fights over this sort of thing. Yeah. Next thing you know, they'll put the RC Cola next to the Coke. Man, that'll be a lion laying down on the lamb. Well, let's see. What are we to do today? Besides blow up lots of stuff. I should check the jukebox, I suppose, and see if there are any patriotic songs that have been put in. Not a lot of fireworks-related music, I'm gathering. There's not a lot you can say. Skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight, etc., but that really doesn't, you know, connotate fireworks to me. Connotates some chicken-chested David Carradine look-alike and some chick with a Dorothy Hamill haircut having it off in the back of a van at 2 o'clock in the afternoon is what that does, but that's just me. Let's see here. How about, A4.
When I'm listening to the music of a military band, any tune like Yankee Doodle simply sets me off my noodle. It's that patriotic something that no one can understand. Way down south in the land of cotton, melody untiring, ain't that inspiring? Hurrah, hurrah, we'll join the jubilee, and that's going some for the Yankees by gum. Red, white, and blue, I am for you. Honest, you're a grand old rag. You're a grand old rag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag. But should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on the grand old rag.
Hey, guys, come on, take them outside, all right? We're getting paper pieces everywhere. Smells great, though.
I'm a dead square honest Yankee, and I'm mighty proud of that old flag that flies for Uncle Sam. Though I don't believe in raving, every time I see it waving, there's a chill runs up my back that makes me glad I'm what I am. Here's a land with a million soldiers that, if we should need them, we'll fight for freedom. Hurrah, hurrah, for every Yankee tar, and old G.A.R., every stripe, every star. Red, white, and blue, hats off to you. Honest, you're a grand old rag. You're a grand old rag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag. But should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on the grand old rag.
That was Billy Murray from 1906. Actually, it was the number one song in 1906. Granted, there were four songs released, but still. No, actually, that was based on sheet music sales as well as Edison cylinders. 100 years ago, that's what Grandpa, as a young man, probably listened to as he ran in and out of the farmhouse on a 4th of July day. I wonder what my grandparents did on the 4th, 100 years ago. They probably went into town. I mean, the big town, that being Fargo. The closest town was actually Harwood, but it wasn't large enough to muster its own parade. They would have had four or five farmers and a Civil War vet propped up on a horse. Incidentally, the song, It's a Grand Old Rag, makes reference to the GAR, a reference that would have made utter and complete, total, perfect, immediate sense to everyone back in 1906, but less so today. GAR stands for Grand Army of the Republic, and at the 4th of July parade in Fargo, you would have veterans of the Civil War walking down Main Street, Broadway actually, waving to people. God knows what horrors they'd seen in their youth. And then you would have, I'm sure, a concert, a band shell concert down at Island Park, perhaps. Young couples spooning in the gazebo. Maybe taking out a boat. Wonderful. Fireworks, hot dogs, food poisoning. You know, the whole civic nature of it had changed substantially by the time I came along. There weren't any parades. I don't recall going downtown to seeing all the street posts festooned with bunting, or bunted with festooning, and watching people stride down playing musical instruments, waving to indicate their presence in several military conflicts. I just don't. The 4th of July was fireworks. The food was secondary, actually. There's no particular food that you get on the 4th. You can't have any other time. It's not like Thanksgiving, where the whole panoply of turkey and its accessories is unique in its concentration and volume on that day. You can have hot dogs and bratwurst and hamburgers any day. Perhaps for the adults, it's the idea that you can have these things all together. I mean, when we have a 4th of July party at my house, the adults have a hamburger and a bratwurst and a Polish and another hamburger. But then come the fireworks. And when I was a kid, you got fireworks. You got big fireworks. You had M-80s. You got cherry bombs. Now, I'll be going back for a high school reunion later this month. And I know with complete certainty that every single person that I meet from my old high school will have all of his fingers. Because nobody got one blown off. Oh, we all heard the tale, and of course, it did happen. But it was remarkable how much explosive power was freely handed out to youth in those days. Now, cherry bombs were eventually eased out of the picture. I'm not exactly sure how or why, or by legislative fiat, but they just sort of ceased to appear after I was about 8 or 9 or so. But you could still get an M80. You could still drop an M80 in a trash can, lose your hearing for a day. I had access to these things like you could only dream, because my father ran a fireworks stand. Let me clarify that, because there's an important detail. My father, who ran a gas station, had a fireworks stand at the gas station. Oh, nothing ever blew up. Be a grand story if it did, eh? Be a horrible story. I mean, livelihoods ruined, limbs sundered. But the whole fireworks stand at the grocery store scenario never really paid off in the way the setup would seem to indicate. But what this meant, however, was that I had access to a tremendous amount of gunpowder. Now, granted, I had to get it the hard way. It's not like Dad handed me a bag of the stuff and said, go have fun. But I would take a brick of Black Cats, and that was the gold standard. All young boys know that Black Cat is simply the finest firework you can buy. And I would get the gunpowder out of them. No small task, actually. They were tightly packed, quality product. You had to unroll them and get the few precious grains out onto a piece of paper. But if you did this over and over and over again, and nothing encourages hard work and diligence in a young boy like giving him a brick of firecrackers and telling him to glean all of the gunpowder, if you did this enough, you would have a substantial amount of explosive material. Well, what to do with it? We'd all heard bad things about pipe bombs. I'm not quite sure why, but you didn't want to go down that road. So we would try to find novel projectiles to send into low orbit, and the one that I hit upon was the Gerber baby food lid. This would have placed this at 1967, I think. My sister was still young and being fed by Gerber baby food, so we had a lot of the lids around at house. I would take them out in the backyard, and I would place the lid over a heap of gunpowder on a stone, of course, light the fuse. Interesting, apparently I was given access to matches as a small child, too. This goes contrary to my entire other recollections of being a fairly well-supervised child. I'm not sure what's at work here. I mean, my mom was at home all the time. I guess they just didn't really have the same fears about letting your kids play with explosives as parents do today. Overprotective, smothering nannies. Anyway, I would light the fuse, run, and poof, off she would go. Man, high they would go. In retrospect, again, a recipe for disaster. The thing could have taken off, hit me in the eye, could have gone through a window, but they didn't. They went straight up and straight down. When you retrieved them, and we were like the Soviets, we always landed on solid ground, not on water, you could gauge the effects of the explosive. It looked like a giant had pushed a thumb through the lid that was all bent and distended. So you would experiment some more with different varieties of Gerber baby food. It turns out, be it squash or pears, they all went up the same. And you experimented with different heaps, sizes of gunpowder explosives until you eventually came up with that one magical combination between completely blows it up and you never see it again. And once you had never seen it again, which meant it went up and the wind took it and Lord knows where it landed, then you pretty much moved along to the next thing. And the next thing by then, of course, was the fourth. I never blew off fireworks before the fourth. It seemed wrong. No, that's not right. That's not right. I blew up a cherry bomb once before the fourth at the station. I forgot about this. I feel guilty about this to this day. There was a culvert filled with water. It had been apparently a wet summer. And because we all knew the cherry bombs were waterproof, that was one of the marvelous, mysterious virtues of the cherry bomb. It was flushable. Because it was waterproof, you could toss it in this culvert, and I did so. I lit it and threw it away. And this big explosion underwater and a lot of bubbles. And then just a lot of frogs floated to the surface. Tree frogs, too. The little ones, the cute ones. The concussive shock had completely assassinated every single tree frog in the culvert. And as if just to drive the point home and haunt my dreams more, it's like they all floated belly up. So there I am looking at this vast ecosystem that I've just destroyed with a cherry bomb. They're all waiting for me in heaven, or hell, as the case may be. But that was rare. I didn't blow stuff off until the fourth. And then when it came to blow stuff off, we had stuff to blow off, because what my father didn't sell, we lit. But that's another tale, isn't it? Perhaps now it's a good time to break for a word from our sponsor.
For that old-fashioned flavor that all the folks favor, try Hebrew National Meats. They're a treat to be sure, 'cause the beef is so pure in Hebrew National Meats.
You'll find corned beef and roast beef, salami, pastrami, and wonderful frankfurters too.
They are surely delicious and purely nutritious, those Hebrew National,
Hebrew National,
Hebrew National Meats.
It's the season for bright, tempting dishes, for foods that radiate good cheer. It's the season for Kraft Salad Mustard. Foods fairly sparkle with appetite appeal when you add the tangy flavor of golden, creamy, smooth Kraft Salad Mustard. This mustard, with the just right spicing, peps up sausage and cold cuts. Blends smoothly into keen-tasting cream sauces for vegetables. Adds delicious flavor to golden eggs. Ask for this light, golden, creamy, smooth salad mustard made by Kraft. Or try that other favorite, Kraft Mustard with horseradish added. Buy these two delicious mustards, salad mustard and horseradish mustard, both prepared by Kraft.
You know, it's almost twilight. I think I'm going to go outside, grab a lawn chair, and sit back and watch the display. Let's go. Here's a chair. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Judas Lifton! Priest, what was that? I wonder if that was the dynamite factory down the road. No. What are the chances, right? I mean, on the 4th. It would be a very bad day for the dynamite factory to go up, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd call 911, and they'd think it's a prank. It's the dynamite factory! We're exploding! Can't you hear? Thank you, sir. Have a nice 4th. Click. So far, I'm the only one out here. I mean, I'm sure everyone from the diner will come outside once the fireworks start, but I sort of expected that people would be showing up with their own lawn chairs here in the parking lot. Hope it's not competition from the displays in the cities. Minneapolis, St. Paul, the suburbs, they all have massive, wonderful pyrotechnical displays. Here we have tonight something put on by the Lake Lilac Businessmen's Association. And there are only 3 businessmen. It's a small lake. But I'm sure they pulled their bounteous resources and got us something to compete with what the cities have. It's advertised as being set to music. Apparently we're going to turn on our radios to a particular channel and hear the fireworks synchronized with the music. It never worked for me. They did this annually in Minneapolis, and you were always instructed to turn to KQ, which is one of those hot rockin' stations. I'm sorry, hot rockin', that plays Stairway to Heaven 14 times a day. And you would sit out there, listening to KQ, getting consumed by mosquitoes, with your head craned skyward, waiting for the synchronization of music, rock and roll, and marijuana to be complete. And then it would be Stairway to Heaven, or Fool for the City, or something equally rocking in the hot sense. And they never seemed particularly coordinated. Although 1 year, man, 1 year we took the Wizard of Oz soundtrack, and I swear it matched up perfectly. It was amazing. Anyway, some more people are coming. All right. And they're bringing their own fireworks. That's the spirit. No need to wait for the man to deliver them. Private initiative, that's what I like to see here. Well, they've got everything. There's some kids who have the little snakes. Snakes are the training wheels of fireworks. Those little things, you light them and the little black snake just like comes out of nowhere. It's actually a portal to hell, and that's where the snake is coming from. How many souls have been lost? I have no idea. And of course, bottle rockets, and of course, Roman candles. We used to have Roman candle duels. Actually, we had duels with ladyfingers. You'd put the ladyfinger in a bottle, a thick glass bottle, and then point it directly at a friend, preferably his face, and it would shoot small pieces of paper into his eye sockets. It's just a wonderful festive atmosphere, and the good stuff should soon begin. Still wonder what they're going to use for the music, though. Oh, here we go. I'm tuning my radio, and there. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, it could be worse. Ah, Jiminy Cricket. I can't take this. I'm sorry. putting up a gold, glittering explosion in the sky at the same time that Robert Plant sings "There's a Lady Who Thinks All That Glitters That Gold" does not constitute coordination or synchronization in my book. Speaking of which, I have a book. I have an iBook. Alright, just open it up here. I've got these special turbocharged speakers. Calling up iTunes playlist. Here. You're welcome. Well, thanks for stopping by, and have a happy Independence Day. This is James Lilacs for The Diner, 4th of July weekend 2006. God bless America, and we'll see you next week. Okay, that was the Dynamite Factory.